At Milmer Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milmer is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Hear well, live well, Hearing Care Pro.
Hi, folks. This is Steve Christopher from Hearing Care Professionals in Frankfort. Have you heard about the Starkey Halo made for iPhones? Stream your hearing aid directly to your phone for better hearing in noisy environments. Call me at 659-4327 for a free demo. That's 659-HEAR. I'd love to help you hear better.
Hearing Care Pro.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line on this Friday morning. Kramer Lumber Do It Center, one of our fine sponsors, along with Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor. Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare. Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Hear Well, Live Well. Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives. Simple Time Antiques, Step Back into a Simple Time. And ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Another thing, Tony Summer, the Clinton County Prosecutor, joining me in the studio. Another thing I noticed moving to Clinton County is it's kind of like living in a fishbowl, having this job on the radio and people recognizing my voice. Mm-hmm. And for instance, one of my neighbors is Ryan Welty, one of our sponsors here on Party Line.
Sure.
And I never had a chance to meet the guy in person, and I still haven't yet. But one of the last days that we were moving over, it was hot. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we'd been at it all day, and mm-hmm. kids running around and pretty cranky, and I was pretty cranky. And Ryan's wife, Elizabeth, brought us over. Of course, we didn't have a refrigerator or anything yet, just mm-hmm. moving things in, but we were getting there. And she brought us over a 12-pack of ice cream sandwiches, and it was the perfect thing to...
Yeah, for a hot afternoon.
Get, you know, it was such a nice gesture, and... It was exactly what the kids needed at that mm-hmm. point, you mm-hmm. know. So mm-hmm. you've got that. And then my neighbor, I haven't learned his last name yet, but his name's Charles. And this guy is just, I think he's 83 years old, just the sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet. But I introduced myself to him one day, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I know who you are. I listen to Party Line every morning." And
there you go.
You know, so.
Yep.
So
well, we're a small community, and if we don't know one another personally, we know of one another is the way things work. That's what gives strength to a community.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It's been a very comfortable transition so far. And I grew up in a smaller community down around Camelsburg, Indiana, between mm-hmm. Salem and Mitchell on Highway 60 down there. So, actually 10 miles north of Camelsburg on a 1,000-acre farm. It was just me and my brothers. We didn't have neighbors to play with. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that helped us later in life too. We get along still really well. I had a great childhood. I've never complained about that. Did you know Alfred Panky?
No, I do not.
I saw that Russ Casper posted this last night from the Goodwin Funeral Home for June 14th. 94-year-old Alfred Panky, former longtime resident in Frankfort, passed away yesterday in Lafayette. It said that he was, I didn't highlight it here, but he received a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Missouri. He worked for Oster Racine, Bomar in Fort Wayne, and assisted in establishing Bomar Canada, and then worked for Mallory Controls in Frankfort for over 30 years, retiring in 1989. He was a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Air Corps, serving during World War II. from May 1943 until June of 1945, a member of St. Mary's Catholic Church in Frankfort, where he was involved in the Knights of Columbus. He was past president of the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. That's what I had seen there. Also past member and president of the Frankfort Country Club, Moose Lodge, and past board of directors for YMCA, Coach Little League, survived by his wife, Mary Betty Pankey of Monticello. So they'll be having rosary services recited at 11:30 on June 29th. That's a Friday morning. You can find more details at Goodwin Funeral Home. Never had a chance to meet him, but saw that one of our past community leaders has passed away. Tony, you and I were talking about a couple things off the air when we first started. Ken Hartman had printed the story out for me that not all grocery stores are created equal. According to a recent survey from Consumer Reports, more than 50,000 food shoppers have serious complaints about specific stores. I think wherever we go, we're going to find a complaint about something.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
But, I definitely think some retailers are better than others. But surveyors mainly complained about grocery stores with too few checkout lanes, long lines, congested aisles, too few food choices, and a poor selection of local products. Some of the worst offenders include Target, Aldi, and Stop and Shop. I don't know. I'm not familiar with Stop and Shop. But one of the worst, according to the survey results, always gets picked on as Walmart. So we'll get into that in a minute. About 8 years ago, I was a store manager of a Dollar General in Indianapolis. And, I helped open new stores that they were putting in the Indy area. And one of the things that one of the initiatives Dollar General had taken was to widen the aisles. And it was really all their new stores anyway. You can get two carts down the aisle at the same time.
Sure.
You go into some of the older ones, and it's they're pretty tight.
Yeah.
You know? So I think little things like that go a long way for consumers.
They do.
We were talking about though, Tony, a little bit about in this day and age of technology, I do like the self checkout a lot of times if I don't have a lot of groceries or something. Of course, Walmart just about always has a couple of those open, and that's nice and handy for the most part. But, even those get clogged up sometimes, and people want to see a real person sometimes, just helping.
Well, sometimes the what you're trying to get through the checkout is something that's going to be difficult to do at a self-checkout. What I notice is that some of the retailers are clearly trying to reduce the number of cashiers that they have on a given shift. They're cutting down on staff as a way to save money, and that does result in a reduction of service to customers. So they're literally forcing people to use the self-checkout. And I kind of question that because my background in retail, as I was telling you, when I was a young man, I worked for Sears Roebuck and Company just as a retail salesperson initially, and then moved into the display operations for the West Lafayette store when it was still on the levee in West Lafayette, Indiana. And, at that time, Sears Roebuck and Company was the number one retailer in the world, and they put a great emphasis on customer service. The customer's always right.
Right.
Backing up their products. The retail models are changing, and they're really driven by some economic pressures these days to change those models. But I'm not sure the directions that they're changing are positioning brick-and-mortar stores that well to compete with online retail.
Yeah.
And that's the struggle we're seeing, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely changed the game. It still comes down to the people, though. If I go out to the Frankfort Walmart, I see, again, just being in the community for a year and a half and just living here for the last 2 weeks, I see a couple people at the customer service counter or something, and I just know she's always in a good mood. And she's friendly, so it makes my experience
always makes
good.
Always makes a difference.
It does.
To know someone and to know that it's going to be a cheerful person that you encounter. That's always a good experience. But as we're talking about the survey being critical of the retail establishments, I think we can also perhaps turn our attention the other direction. What about the quality of us as customers? When you've been in the retail establishments, have you ever looked around at the quality of the customers in those stores?
Good point.
I mean, people that are going out to shop in their pajama pants,
right?
Who perhaps haven't used deodorant or washed their hair that day. I'm, you know, I think on both sides of this equation, there's room for improvement.
Yeah, I agree. Well put. One thing I noticed was over particularly the summer months, it was kind of in I don't want to say a less than better neighborhood in Indianapolis, maybe around 56th and Keystone, but getting there to a less better neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We had a policy about carrying large purses. Hmm. And boy, I would get some irate customers on that, you know. But we did have a theft problem, you know, and
exactly.
I was one of the few Dollar General stores in the region that had a part-time loss prevention person
because of all of the retail theft you experienced.
Yeah.
We certainly have those issues that are brought to my office here in this county, where we have retail thefts, and it's one of those things where. The laws in the state of Indiana have made theft of items under $750 a misdemeanor offense.
Mm-hmm.
There are circumstances where it can be enhanced to a felony if there's a prior conviction. Try to deal with that at a lower level. People don't go to prison for the first time that they shoplift a low-dollar item. And frankly, they don't go to prison when they steal something worth a heck of a lot more the first time. You try to provide services to the offender and try to put them in a position where they do not commit the offense again. But we do see some of those people back time and time again, and as we do so, then my office recommends progressive penalties, in other words, that the penalties get harsher and harsher each time the person commits the offense again.
Yeah.
So we try to have an impact, a deterrent effect upon those kinds of offenses.
I think Walmart has recently instituted a policy that was something about if it's less than $60, they will not prosecute you, but you are ordered to go to some kind of court.
That's may vary by store location in terms of what the policies are, in terms of what the store does through their loss prevention operations.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's not Walmart that gets to decide who's prosecuted.
Right.
Okay?
True. Good point.
And so under the circumstances, it's a matter of, but if they never report it, then will never make it to my office and nothing can ever be done with it. So different retail establishments may establish policies. One of the policies that typically stores will impose if they encounter someone in a retail theft that's not one that they wish to deal with formally, I guess is the way I'd put it, is that they'll tell the person that they're not allowed in the store anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've given that kind of notice to a person, if the person returns to the store, then they'll contact authorities to have them removed on a criminal trespass complaint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard
so
of that before.
We deal with it that way as well.
I've even seen some convenience stores post pictures of offenders. You know, they'll put them right on the door. You know?
I have no objection to that. I have no objection. At one point, I had a retailer here locally that was dealing with bad check issues, which, you know, writing bad checks is not something that is as common anymore, not because people aren't writing checks against bad accounts anymore. They're just not writing checks much anymore.
Right.
I mean, they're using debit cards and other forms of payment a lot more these days. But the manager of the local retail establishment wanted to post the check, a bad check, outside of their cashier area so that other customers would see this person wrote a bad check, kind of a shaming kind of a thing to do.
Right.
A local attorney had told the business owner that, no, you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, you got to follow the advice of your attorney and what you think is right. From a prosecutor's point of view, there's nothing illegal about you taking action to shame the person. You might want to make sure that identifying information on the check, if there is any,
is covered up or blacked out,
so you're not giving that kind of information away. But I said, other than that, to shame a person for writing bad checks, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, it definitely gets their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something on your mind, 659-3338 is the phone number to call, or 1-800-447-4463. I'm Kevin Keith and joined by Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer on this Friday morning. If you just joined us, one person is dead, two others injured in a single vehicle crash in northeastern Clinton County. According to the sheriff's office this morning, you've heard about it during Ken's morning show. We've got a little bit on Clinton County Daily News, but one person is dead, two others injured as a result of that accident. It happened just west of the State Road 26 and 29 intersection in Middle Fork early this morning, according to Deputy Joe Mink. Around 5:50, an SUV heading west on State Road 26 hit a tree. So that's the sad story this morning from Clinton County. There were some national stories, Tony, that I thought the timing was just right for you coming in this morning. I was interested yesterday in the FBI report that came out. A government watchdog report found no evidence of institutional political bias at the FBI. FBI Director Chris Wray said yesterday the FBI will learn from the over 500-page report and make any changes that are necessary. He added that individual employees will be held accountable for any misconduct. A Justice Department Inspector General had accused former FBI Director James Comey of mishandling the Hillary Clinton email investigation, which I think he did. But the report, I read a little bit of it yesterday. It was pretty scathing for Comey, but it was kind of just a slap on the wrist because I think he terribly mismanaged and mishandled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. But maybe that'll kind of put some of this to rest and we can move on, or no.
It's another footnote or commentary, but it's not going to put it to rest. I think that'll be a while in coming. But I think it's important to note that what the director of the FBI at the time did, Mr. Comey, was to make public an investigation, and that's not the normal practice of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The normal practice is to keep those matters, out of the public eye until such time as an investigation is complete. And because he had taken the step of putting it in the public eye, he then felt like he had to step forward when there was a need to reopen the investigation and put it in the public eye that the investigation was being reopened.
Right.
The timing on that was so close to the election.
It was like 2.5 weeks.
And so the whole problem was a problem, though, that spiraled out of control because he first took the step to make it something that was in the public eye to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem. And it's part of the reason why matters that are under investigation are kept as confidential by police agencies. It's because investigations are just that. They're a search for what the evidence is. And so if you start talking about things before an investigation is completed, then it opens the whole matter up to speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And that speculation can be so damaging to everybody involved. And in fact, the investigation is not complete yet, and you don't know the answers yet when the matter is still being investigated. As to the FBI as an institution, the finding of the Inspector General that there wasn't political bias of the institution is all well and good. And certainly people who are police officers have every right to engage in political activity. But when they start expressing political views in a way that makes it look like they're going to take official action based upon the political views, which is what some individuals did, and that was part of what's been exposed in the Inspector General's inquiry, and we've already heard about specific higher-level FBI authorities who said things like, you know, we will prevent Donald Trump from being president,
right,
kind of thing. That's what colors public perception of those institutions. That's the harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to undo that kind of harm.
Right.
And so I've always said that, although people have a right certainly to engage in political speech and political activity, you cannot let your individual activity carry over into your official responsibilities when you have official responsibilities.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Especially something very official like that, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Well, Comey seemed like a pretty bright guy, but just a couple of terrible judgment calls, and then he has to double down on those.
Just because you're so bright really doesn't mean that you aren't motivated by a personal agenda.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well put. Well, Continuing on that theme, former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort is expected to be arraigned on new criminal charges Friday. I saw last week where he was telling friends close to him that he was expecting to maybe be arraigned last Friday. Yeah. So,
well, the whole problem is that he was reaching out to witnesses in the investigation and trying to color their testimony or get them to testify a particular way. At least that's the accusation. And that's evidence tampering. That's
Absolutely.
Witness tampering.
That's
and that's obstruction
charge.
Of justice.
Right.
And so that's what he's being arraigned on now, or charges related to that conduct. And he's also pending on charges federally. And when someone's pending on charges and they commit a new crime, the other thing that happens is having been admitted to bail or bond is something that can be reviewed by the courts. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's also happening with Mr. Manafort. As he's arraigned today, there's also then a question being placed before the judge. Judge, should we continue to leave him out on bond if he's just going to commit more crimes?
That's
or,
right.
Or should we go ahead and just throw him in jail for now? That is exactly something that happens here with local offenders that's driven by information that comes to my office when an offender is out on bond or bail. And there are problems that they don't either adhere to the conditions of bond or they commit new crimes, we put the question in front of the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there can be a modification of bond conditions. Sometimes bond is revoked altogether, and they're held in custody until their case is resolved.
That's exactly the next sentence in the story. A federal judge will decide whether Manafort's bail should be revoked. As you mentioned, Tony, Robert Mueller brought the new charges last week of witness tampering. Mueller is leading the investigation of Russian meddling, too, in the 2016 presidential campaign. So that just keeps getting stickier and stickier.
Right, right.
Kentucky is suing Walgreens for its role in the opioid crisis. Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear claimed Thursday that Walgreens directly contributed to the state's drug epidemic through their role as both a pharmacy and a distributor. This is the sixth opioid-related lawsuit filed by Beshear and the latest in a wave of lawsuits brought by state and local governments against the pharmaceutical industry. I think you'll see more of this.
I do, too. And it's something that attorney generals around the country have been looking at, how we wound up with the crisis that we're facing right now. And so as they do so, they are looking for holding people accountable for their actions and the way they conducted themselves.
So we're going to take a break now. You got 10 more minutes while you're here, Tony?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back with more Party Line next on YLO.
No one knows how to help you say, I love you, like Sparrow Florist and Greenhouse. Sparrow's has all the advantages of an attached greenhouse and the largest florist gift showroom in the area. This means gifts galore to say, I love you, just the way you want. Sparrow's will even custom make your love message with hand-painted and country craft items. Remember, Tony says, Sparrow's wants to help you say, I love you, thank you, good luck, congrats, or whatever needs to be said just the right way, with flowers. Call us today for delivery today or stop by Sparrow's Greenhouse and Large Showroom.
Hi, I'm Angie from Kramer Lumber. Thinking of remodeling your kitchen? If so, then Craftmade and Kramer have something important for you to consider. Your kitchen isn't just where you cook, eat, and clean. It's the hub of your home. It's your real living room. We at Kramer Lumber can show you how to use Craftmade cabinetry to remodel your kitchen for just the ways you live. Craftmade Kitchens, for the real living room.
Kramer Lumber, we're the friendly ones. We are Kramer Lumber.
Does your yard or patio need a makeover? I know mine does, but I'm not an expert. But I know who is. Hardesty Landscaping. There's no job too large or too small that Hardesty Landscaping won't give you a professional design. One that fits your budget and needs. If you can dream it, they can build it. Whether it's a fire pit, patio, fountain, water garden, retaining wall, or shrubs, trees, and flowers. Call Hardesty Landscaping today at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Our Encompass mobile banking app allows you to check balances, view transaction history, transfer funds, and pay loans on the go. You can even apply for a loan via our mobile app, too. Our app is very easy to download and install, and if you run into any problems, we're here to help. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. We're an equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA. Online at EncompassCU.org.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line on this Friday morning. Special thanks to our sponsors, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper, Simple Time Antiques, Step Back into a Simple Time, Good Morning Michelle, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, Hearing Care Professionals, Hear Well, Live Well, Good Morning Steve Christopher, we know he's listening, Hardesty Landscaping, Milner Healthcare, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there, Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you, Welty Custom Exteriors, Welty Works for You, and Kramer Lumber Do It Center. A reminder that Party Line will be on the air from the fair all the whole week of the fair, the 9th through the 13th. So Tony, Ken, and I are going to be out there having fun with fair council representatives.
It's always a fun time, the county fair. People come out for that. You have the 4-H activities. You also have the activities on the midway there at the fair, so it's always a good time.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go to the Clinton County Fair last year, so I'll definitely be in on it this year. And WILO, we just announced a couple days ago that we'll be having Buddy Night, Friday night. You can go out there, and we'll be announcing some sponsors where you can pick up stickers locally and then take that sticker that night and get half price off the ride, so you can bring a buddy for that. On a more serious note, before we wrap up the program, this is kind of confusing, and I figured you'd be the guy to ask. President Trump's longtime attorney is seeking a restraining order now against the lawyer for a porn star who says she had sex with Trump years ago. Michael Cohen filed for a restraining order late yesterday in an attempt to stop attorney Michael Avenatti from talking to the media. Now, Avenatti's been talking to the media for the last month and a half, ever since this really heated up. There was that payment made to Stormy Daniels to keep quiet, basically.
By Cohen.
Right.
The question is whether or not Donald Trump as a candidate for president was in any way personally involved in making that payment.
He
repaid Cohen later, according
right.
to the information. But, was he involved in having the payment made at the outset? And were there any campaign funds involved in making the payment to that person? Because that would be a violation
of campaign
finance laws.
But anything else, if it was just some hush money, that's not illegal, is it?
Not illegal otherwise.
Right, unless it was campaign funds, of course.
But
yeah.
You have the pending lawsuit at this point in time, and what the restraining order has to do with is something that's not the same as, but similar to a responsibility that I have as a prosecutor. As a prosecutor, there's a special ethics rule that applies to prosecutors, and then there's a more generalized rule that apply to all other attorneys. But what it has to do with is that evidence is to be used by attorneys in the courtroom and decisions made by a trier of fact, whether that be a judge or a jury.
Mm-hmm.
And attorneys in general, and prosecutors specifically in criminal cases, have a responsibility not to advocate the release of that information before disposition by the trier of fact in the public eye. We're supposed to ensure people of a fair trial in criminal proceedings, which is different than the civil case that is pending that's involved there. But that's exactly what the restraining order has to do with, though, is trying to get the attorney on the other side to comply with ethics rules by saying, no, this is information that should only be presented in the courtroom to a trier of fact.
I just think, I don't know, they were violating their agreement, from day one when they started talking about it. So I just, I was kind of interested in that.
And I understand what you're saying in that regard, but that question in a legal sense is a different
question. It's a little different then. Yeah, you kind of cleared that up for me. So we'll see how that goes, but I don't know who else Avenatti could talk to that he hasn't talked to, right?
Well, he's already released a good deal of information, but who knows what prompted the request for the restraining order. If Cohen is aware that they're ready to drop another bombshell, another turn or another twist in the facts as we know them in the whole matter, and he's trying to head that off with a request for a restraining order. That's my speculation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see how that develops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tony, thanks for joining me, and you have a good weekend. Always good to see you.
Good. Good to see you. Before I'm out of here, we're coming up on Father's Day. I want to wish all the fathers out there happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Okay?
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. And we want to thank you for joining us, and thanks to our sponsors, too. They are Kramer Lumber Dewitt Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. We will be back Monday morning with more Party Line at 8:30. Stay tuned for the E Factor next with Shan Sheridan here from Community Radio. We're WILO.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO. We'll be right back.